Well, good morning to everyone. Well, we've had some glitches of late in our family. Folks who have lost loved ones, it seems like the last 5 or 6 months, we've had all kinds of little difficulties that have come our way and blossomed, and sort of a big stone in our pathway as we try to get from here to heaven. One of the reasons that we've been able to survive what's going on and what will continue to go on as long as the Lord tarries is what we're doing now. Because we have the opportunity of coming together to worship God and thank Him for victory that is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. One day we're going to get to go home and all the problems that we suffer here upon this earth, all those problems will be gone. We get to be with God forever and forever. Again, it's good to see each one of you. And I hope that when our services are over, that God will say that it was good to be with my children at Overland. You know, one of the strongest ways in which to get through the problems of our life is that of prayer. And the last several weeks we've been talking about that. And it's been interesting to listen as many of you have spoken to me about that. And even in the funeral services that were conducted this last week for our two dear sisters. Prayer, the power of God, and heaven itself have been on all of our minds. We talked about, first of all, as we began talking about prayer, we talked about how that all prayers won't change the law of God. I don't care how hard we pray, that not a single prayer will ever alter what God's law has said. And I'm grateful for that because it means it's constancy there and that I can always depend on it being that way, that if God has said, this is what I want, then if I'll do it, then I'll do well. Then we talk about praying for all of our loved ones. And if you'll notice the bulletin, if you didn't pick it up today, if you'll pick up a copy of the bulletin today, you will see that in that bulletin, we have that lesson that we preached on praying for all of our loved ones. As we talked about praying for the eyes and the ears and the mouth and the feet and all the parts of our loved ones as we go throughout our daily life. And then last week we talked about the prayers of Jesus. Jesus himself offering prayers to God. And especially towards the end of his life, some of them were very hard. As he knew that the time of his departure was at hand, he agonized. And he was so into that, into his prayer, that great drops fell from his face, from his person, and it was as if it was blood. And then, as it came time for him to leave this earth, he said, "It is finished." Each one of those prayers that he uttered was to God for a particular reason. And it is because of his sacrifice. It is because of his love that we can find hope in this generation in which we live. We've all defined prayer from our own perspective as well as from Romans 10, heart's desire expressed to God. It's where I, for a few moments, or whatever length of time it might be, and it's not the length, it is the content. That me, by myself, I get to find my chamber, inner chamber somewhere, and just simply talk to God. And thank Him, first of all, for who He is, and that I know that He will listen to my prayers, the eyes of the Lord upon the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. And I'm grateful to know that as I offer prayer to my Father in the name of Jesus, that He is going to hear what I've got to say. And I must be careful lest I try to take over his position and sort of make him make certain decisions. That's impossible. Every prayer that I make, God has answered it in one way or the other, as we have discussed frequently. He either say yes, he'll say no, or not yet. But in all of that, we need to keep in mind that God is still in control, that he is the ruler of the whole universe, all there is. That it is in him that we live and move and have our very being. I want to talk to you briefly this morning of what I call prayers about Jesus. And when I think about prayers about Jesus, it is remembering who I am as I reach out to my Father and as I talk to my Father about the Son. As I talk to God about the one who loves me so. Asking him for all types of things. Several years ago, my father-in-law, Leslie Sloan, I listened to him as he offered a prayer to God Almighty. But in that, he said something about Jesus. And I want to share with you some of the things that he said in that prayer. Then after I share with you what he said in that prayer, I want to share some other things with you as well. One of the first things I want us to see as we think about prayers about Jesus is that the Son of God, he became the Son of Man so that the sons of men might become the sons of God. We have been adopted into the family of God, Romans chapter 8, and there verses 1 through 17. We don't have any real control over whose family we are born into physically. But spiritually, I have been born into the family of God. And I'm thankful that the Son of God became the Son of Man. So that I, this weak thing that stands before you, that I might become the Son of God. Aren't you grateful this morning that you are a child of God? That God so loved you that he gave you a chance to become his child in a special sense? We're all God's son by virtue of creation, but in a special sense, in the spiritual sense. I am God's son. I'm not going to go to every passage I have up there. They're there for your further consideration if you want to look at them even later. The Son of God came from heaven to earth that we on earth could go to heaven. John 3:16 is a passage that most of us can quote. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. The world needed saving. The world was in sin. And God sent his Son. He came and tabernacled here upon this earth. So that you and I one day can go to heaven. I believe I'm talking to people who have a desire. You can correct me if you're wrong, if I'm wrong. I believe I'm talking to a group of people that want to go to heaven. I believe it is evident by your presence here this morning that you want to go home. And all of us will go home. In one sense or the other, whether it be with God or be with Satan, we're going to head somewhere. Larry pointed out very plainly in the service yesterday that we only have two alternatives. One is home with God or the other is home with Satan. God sent his Son so that you and I might want to go home. We sing about heaven all the time, but it must be at the top of our list. Regardless of what happens in our life, that I want to go home. I've tried to impress that upon you in the time that we've been together. That it's all about God and going home. Yes, Father, we're thankful that Jesus came to this earth so that we earthlings one day can go and be with you forever and ever. I direct your attention over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'd like for us to read together verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8. And there verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, here's the next one, though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. I've been blessed in seeing a lot of beautiful places. And in seeing those beautiful places, I had no trouble saying, that's beautiful, that's pretty. And I often wondered about, sometimes in those mansions, I often wondered, how did they afford that? Or how could they get that? Or how could they have that? Jesus had all the riches. He was in heaven with the Father. Yet he wasn't satisfied to stay there. Why wasn't he satisfied? Because you see, before you were ever born, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit got together and they said, let us make man. And they did. And it wasn't long after that that man sinned. It wasn't long after that that God sent his Son. He left being by the Father, being with the angels above, and he did it all. I'm going to leave you out for a moment and let you know that he did it for me. He was willing to leave every bit of that, every bit of it, in order that I might be made rich. I want you to consider this right now, that we are some of the richest people. We are some of the richest people. I'm not talking monetarily. There's some in here who have much and some who have little from a monetary standpoint. But let me tell you, there's one thing that you and I have in common, every one of us that is faithful to God, and that is we're rich in blessings. My beloved, never forget that. And understand that the reason that it's that way is because the Son of God left his riches in heaven and became poor so that you and I might become rich. I am the richest man. You are the richest woman. And the IRS can't touch us. It's beautiful. The Son of God dies as a man, so that the sons of man might live like God. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 15. There was a problem at the church at Corinth. They were having trouble keeping their thoughts in reference to the resurrection. There were those who were there who were trying to get them away from that understanding and getting them away from the thought that one day that they were going to be resurrected. In 1 Corinthians 15 and there verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor corruption inherit incorruption. Jesus had to come down and take on the form of man and to shed his blood upon the cross. He came and he died as man. He understands when death hits us. God the Father understands how it feels when someone must leave this earthly body and leave all behind. But in verse 42 beginning, of that same chapter, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. As it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. A life-giving spirit. I can have joy and peace under all kinds of circumstances because the Son of God died so that I might live, so that I might have eternal life itself. Can you understand and appreciate the sacrifice of Jesus? Can you see and understand why we ought to, in our prayers, more often thank God for His Son who was willing to do that? Sometimes in our selfishness we pray, guilty myself. Sometimes praying, God, take care of me. Do it for me. Give me, give me, give me. And it may be, beloved, it just may be that if we start giving thanks to God for the sacrifice of His Son, when it comes time for us to pray, because we have said all these things, that God will answer our prayer in the affirmative, if at all possible. My father-in-law's prayers continued. The Son of God lived in the flesh that I might walk in the Spirit. In John chapter 1, and there verse 14, I want us to read that together, if you would please. John 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came and tabernacled. He came and walked the same streets, or the kind of streets that we would walk. And He walked it. And the reason that He walked it, so that man might be able to walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and there verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then He goes ahead and tells us what walking after the flesh is. You don't do that. Tells us not to walk after the flesh. We gave that up, and we were able to give that up, were we not? We were able to give up walking in the flesh because we learned of the sacrifice of Jesus. We obeyed His Word, we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ, and we've been living Christ. And so doing, we walk in that spirit of love, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Scripture says, against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So the Son of Man lived in the flesh, just like you, so that you and I might be able to walk spiritually. I try not to remember walking in the flesh. It was terrible. It was ugly. Was of no value. And I'd like to dwell on the fact that because my Savior, my Master, my High Priest, He lived in the flesh so that I could walk in the Spirit. Another part of my brother's prayer was the Son of God became a servant of man. John chapter 13, Jesus had to teach his disciples humility. And the way that he taught them humility was through service, through his ability to wrap a towel around about himself, to get down on his knees and take the apostles' feet and begin to wash them. He was willing. Here you have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Master of all, the sovereign ruler on his knees, and he's on his knees showing us. Showing us how to be servants. And at the same time, that we can accept the designation of the adopted child of God. Those are six things that my brother said in his prayer. Each one of those giving emphasis to Jesus. My beloved, let us not forget that. Sermons never end. Somebody says some of yours don't seem like they're ever going to end either. Now don't get carried away. But I want to share with you, I'm not going to quote anything. I'm going to put it on the screen so you can see it. And then we'll go on from there. These are things, and these are ones that I added in recent years. Some of them, again, my brother spoke. Some I didn't hear him say. The Son of God was born into this world that we might be born into the kingdom of God. John chapter 3. The Son of God walked this dusty road of earth that we might walk the street of gold. The Son of God accepted the form of the mortal in order to give the mortal immortality. The Son of God suffered, bled, and died on the cross that the sons of men might live, that they might not perish but have everlasting life. The Son of God, who knew no sin, was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Larry, you mentioned that earlier. The Son of God was bound that we might be made free. It hurts. I want to hear about the binding of the Lord, placing him on that cross. And he did that so that we could be free from our sins. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The Son of God was bruised. We might be healed. Flogging. Smacking. Spitting upon. The Son of God wore a crown of thorns so that I might wear the crown of glory. Was it not Paul who said, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not for me only, but all those who love his appearing. I hate those honey locust trees at Kentucky hands. Those things treacherous. But every time I see one of them, it reminds me of the crown that his enemies placed on his head. He endured that and all the shame that was involved in it, so that one day I can wear that crown of glory or righteousness. The Son of God endured the agony of the earth in order that we might enjoy the wonders of heaven. He was not down on this earth on vacation. from the time of his beginning of his personal ministry to the end, there was agony to be felt. But he knew why he was doing it. He was doing it for David. And I cannot be thankful enough. The Son of God lay in a manger that we might live in a mansion. I'm reminded, as you remember, the very birth of Christ itself. And they laid him in a manger. They laid him in a feed trough. And then in John chapter 14 and there verse 2, Jesus promised that he was going away to prepare a place for them, that where he was, there they may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus said, it's true. And I want that mansion. You know, there was a song years ago, said, give me a little cabin in the corner of Glory Land. I'll take the cabin. It's got to be more glorious than anything that we live in here upon this earth. The Son of God became homeless. We might be at home with God. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. The Son of God had not a place in which to lay his head. The Son of God, who was altogether of the divine nature, was made partaker of the human nature in order that we might be partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 through 4. That's what God has done for us. Jesus became man so that we may be a partaker of that divine nature, and we do so by adding to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And it says if these things abound in us, it makes us profitable. I paraphrase. Then we can go home. Then we can go home. The last one. The Son of God was rejected. It was according to prophecy. But he was rejected by the sons of man, so that the sons of men might be accepted by the Son of God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest, he says. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I just don't know. I just don't know, David, what to pray for or to pray about. Let me tell you. The next time you feel that way, you think of these 19 different prayers about Jesus. And I can guarantee you that we could have spent hours together on each one of these thoughts as we thank God for His Son. It's not been an easy week or month or months. And there's trials in front of all of us, regardless of what they may be. If I'll just have, beloved, if I'll just have the good sense to fall down on my knees and thank God for my Jesus, then I can get through everything that life throws at me. And it's Satan, the one that is out to destroy us. And it is God who wants us to come home. So the next time you drop to your knees or wherever it may be, maybe a few of these will come to mind. And thank God for His Son who left heaven, walked here upon this earth, so that you and I one day, after He ascended back into the heavens, at the right hand of God, He's going to come and get us. And after we all get to go back and be in that heaven forever and ever, it's going to be great. It's going to be glorious.
And I want to go home.
The lesson is yours. The lesson is mine. And I pray God has accepted our prayer about His Son today. There are some in this assembly. You're lost. You're without God. You're without hope. I can't help that. Time and time again, you've heard messages from all kinds of different people, from parents and all. And you keep saying, I don't want that Jesus. I don't want that Jesus. I pray that this is the morning that you will decide and say, I want Him. I will confess that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that confession and the repentance of my sins, I want to be immersed in the Christ so that I can be in Christ where all blessings are found. If as a child of God you haven't been doing so well, you've let the world grab you and pull you back in. Why one would want to be pulled back into something that really has nothing to offer, I don't know, but we all seem to want to try it every once in a while. Won't you this morning look inside of yourself and ask yourself, as God's child, have I been as thankful as I needed to be for the Son of Man, that is the Christ, who became that, so that we might become children of God. Let's go home, beloved. Let's go home. Think of that as we stand and as we sing.